This morning, I just want to share a word with you that the Lord laid on my heart. And it is titled, In All Things, Give Thanks. God, in His mercy and grace, gives us all the things that we need to be able to live a life that will bring glory and honor unto His name. But we do know that in this life, not all things go as we would expect it to be. And so I'll tell you a story. Many years ago, there lived a man that was very wealthy and would probably say he was a billionaire. He had all the wealth that you could think of. He had, a family, and he enjoyed life. But above all these, he feared God. And then one day, disaster struck. He lost everything. Lost all his children. And then there was a question as to what did this man do to deserve such a calamity? I'm quite sure most of us will be very familiar with this story. And that is the story of Job. And it's very interesting when you look at the life of Job and what befell him and what came after his loss. You had a few friends come around him, and there was a lot of communication amongst them. Everyone trying to give his point of view as to what must have happened that had caused Job to be in such a situation. Now, as hard as it might look, there was all this back and forth going on. And it's no different from you and I as believers. That quite often, when trouble comes, or we go into some difficulty, we encounter such things in our lives. And there are three categories of people that whenever there is any adversity or trouble in your life, you may encounter. Number one, there are those who would rejoice to see that you are in trouble. And they are very obvious, okay? Why? Because they are instruments of the enemy. They would rejoice and say, aha, we said it. It serves him right, it serves her right that they are in this trouble. And we have many such people in the world today. In fact, some of them even would pretend that they were your friends until, you had trouble. And then you really know whether they were friends or not. They would say all kinds of things and find all faults that they can pick up against you. But I guess with such people, we know that it's just that the enemy is using them as a weapon against us. Amen. Then you have a second group of people who might be sincere in wanting to sympathize with you, but they could be acting in ignorance. And so in their ignorance and desire to want to help you, they would say so many things, try to give you advice, try to say you have to do this, you have to do that, you know. But the truth is that it's not everything that they tell you to say and do is the right thing. Amen. Because such people, in their ignorance, can also be manipulated by the enemy. And if you are not careful, you might take a step based on the advice because they are friends. And that would only land you into what? More trouble. How many of us have been there before? They were very sincere in being friends with you. So they thought they were giving you good advice. They were trying to, you know, kind of like help you out of the situation that you find yourself in. But the reality is that they were acting in ignorance. Sincerity does not necessarily mean that everything that is said and done is right. Amen. The first one, the enemies, we see in Job's life, his own wife. You know, they've enjoyed all the goodies and everything all the years. And then she comes to him and says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" You think that was a loving wife speaking? No, that was the enemy. You see, because she knew by the principles of the day that if you curse God, you would die. Why would she want to be living with a man that had all the trouble and lost all his wealth and everything, and he was sick and she had to take care of him? Now, he could also be a husband to a wife, right? So all these years, eventually, Job finds out the true character of his wife. That she was not really the sort of person that he thought she was. And that's how life is. Then you have his friends who come to him, trying to find all the faults and everything, you know, and trying to give advice. You've done this, you've done that, you've done this, you have. But they were all speaking in what? In ignorance. Because they did not understand what God was doing in the life of Job. Amen. And sometimes when we go through such difficulties, in the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan for our lives, you have people like that. They are just ignorant. You see, so they say all kinds of things and try to give you advice in their sincerity of heart, but the truth is they are ignorant. But then there's a third group of people that is very rare to find. These are people who would look at your situation, sympathize with you, would not judge you, would not make any comments, but they would go before God and pray on your behalf. Hallelujah. They seek wisdom from God to understand what is happening. Unfortunately, we have few such people today. You see, these are people who understand that they could as well be in your shoes. These are people who understand that the ways of God are not like the ways of man. And so, because they have a relationship with God, they would go before God, who knows it all, and who has all the power and authority to be able to do or change your situation. And they'll go on their knees and pray to God and say, "God, can you intervene in this situation?" They won't judge you. They won't say, make any comments if they are unsure about anything. But they would go before God because they know that the only wisdom to be able to help you out of your situation is to go before the God of all sorts of wisdom and to seek his face, to intercede on your behalf. And that is very rare. But you see, the truth is that for you and I, that is the position that God wants us to be in. Amen. That we don't judge our brother, we don't judge our sister, we don't try to find all the reasons why they are in trouble, but we will go before God and pray and intercede on their behalf. You know why? Because we understand that we could also be in the same situation as they are. Hallelujah. And I hope that you and I will be in that situation. We will be that third group of people that would always want to be doing that. Amen. You see? But let me lend you a secret here. The truth of the matter is that of all these three groups of people, none of them really can change your situation. And you may ask why. The first group are only seeking to make your situation worse because, you know, they are being used by the enemy, okay? The second group, even though, yes, in the sincerity of their hearts, they try to help you and give you advice and everything, but they might be wrong as well and get you into more trouble. The third group, yes, are people that are seeking the face of God and interceding on your behalf. But what they do can only have an effect on your life depending on where you stand as a child of God. Amen. You see, I can pray heaven come down for you. But if you are in a position to have faith to believe in God and to believe that God will come through for you, nothing would happen. That is the reason why sometimes you pray for somebody and you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. You haven't judged them, you haven't said anything, it's because they themselves are not in a position to be able to receive that which God has for them. Amen. You see, when you look at all the great men that the Bible talks about, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, and all these people, they all went into trouble at one time or the other in their lives. But the only thing that sustained them was their faith in what? In God. So even if they had help from somebody, it was because they first had the faith in God to believe what God had promised concerning them. And so God prepares the way that before they get into any stage of their lives, God has already prepared something for them to be able to come out of their predicament. Amen. And that is how it works. That is how it works. You see, because the devil knows that without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. So if you are not pleasing God because you are not believing what God has said concerning you, right? Even those who are sent to help you, you would not even recognize them. Amen? Those who are sent to help you, you might not even recognize them. Because you are not in a position to receive from God. You see, sometimes we dwell so much on what we are hearing from the enemy. We focus on what other people are doing so much that we forget that God is stood at our door knocking and wanting to come into the situation. So we need to remind ourselves that we always have to be in a position to what? To receive from God. So that no matter whom we encounter, whether the first group of people who are plainly enemies, or whether those who are just acting in ignorance, or whether those who are actually interceding on our behalf, we will be in the right position for God to do that which He wants to do in our lives. That's the basic principle of how God works. Amen. You see, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he said something about the fact that he remembered, you know, his God. He remembered in the belly of the whale, he had been thrown overboard, he had been swallowed up by a fish, but he remembered. And it was only at the time that he remembered that he started to what? To connect with God and was released from the belly of the whale. So there's something, the word that he says is that those who believe in lying vanities forsake their own what? Mercy. So in other words, when you take your eyes off God and you are looking at your circumstances and listening to all the voices, negative voices that are coming left, right, and center, you actually forsake your own what? Mercy. In other words, you've shut the door to God being able to come into your situation. Yes, I know it's not easy. Whenever you fall into any trouble or anything, you know, it's very hard. But the truth is that you always have to remember what God intends to do in your life. So when we look at Job chapter 19, and I would want us to read that, he said something that is very, very interesting. And I would want us to read that in Job chapter 19. And we'll read from verse 25 down to 27. You see, through all the turmoil and everything that his friends were saying to bring him down, okay, Job comes to that point where he begins to give praise and acknowledge the God that he serves. And then he says something here from verse 25 of chapter 19. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another." You see, he says, I will behold the Lord, not somebody else on my behalf, not somebody else seeing something on my behalf, but I, right, will behold, yeah, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. How my heart yearns within me. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 that, you know, in all things, do what? Give thanks unto God. Job said he yearned. You see, he started from a point of what? Of praise, exalting the name of God, speaking prophetically about his situation, that it's nothing compared to the fact that someday I am going to see my Lord face to face. You see? So even considering the situation that he found himself in, which was, from the standards of men, was leading to death, he was still acknowledging the fact that death even wasn't going to be the end. You know why? Because he was going to see what? His Maker face to face. He yearns for that day. He rejoices for that day. So when the Bible says in all things that we should rejoice and give thanks to God, what it's actually saying is that, you know, death even is not the end for you as a believer. Amen. But actually, it's a passport into the presence of your Maker. So I can rejoice in all things, whether I have plenty or I do not, whether I am hungry or I am not hungry, whether I have riches or I don't have riches. The starting point is that I can recognize the greatness of my God in my situation. That is why I said, of all the three groups of people that you'd encounter, it still comes back to you as an individual between you and God and the position that you have in your relationship with him as to what you believe concerning what he said about your life. All the great men of God that we read about in the Bible, they did that. They did that. You see, because the truth is, none of us can hide what truly is in our heart from God. Now let's read Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 and listen to what he says. Right? The prophet Nahum, that is between Micah and Habakkuk. Yeah? It's a small book between Nahum and between Micah and Habakkuk. So Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's read what he says there. He says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Amen. I guess there's no arguing about that. He says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of what? Trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. So the question is, in the day of trouble, in the day of your adversity, in the day of your calamity, who do you trust? If God knows that you trust in him, then rest assured, he has a plan and a purpose, even in the midst of your trouble. I don't think I need to remind us of the story even about Joseph, all the dreams that he had, and yet he found himself a slave in Egypt. Do you ever think that it was in the mind of Joseph that he would ever become a slave? No way. But it was through slavery that he became the prime minister of Egypt. So in other words, God's promise to Joseph never came to an end. But what the enemy thought he was doing, because of Joseph's trust and faith in God, it was still even fulfilled, because the route to him becoming a ruler over his own family was through what? Slavery. So you see, those who probably did not understand Joseph's life and how God had ordered it would have been rejoicing and thinking, aha, we got him this time. He's no more. But rest assured, whatever happens to you as a child of God has a purpose and a plan to fulfill something that God wants to bring to your life. I don't think anything happens to you as a believer by chance. No. There is always a plan and a purpose in it. All that it requires is that you, as an individual and as a child of God, will continue to believe and trust and hope in God that he knows best. So that when you get that small group of people who would seek the face of God and pray with you, then you have a weapon to be able to what? To stand against the enemy. Hallelujah. And that is what God looks up to us for. That is what God looks to us for. Yes, be wary of the enemies. Be mindful of those that will seem to want to give you advice. But hold on to your faith, because the third group of people who are interceding and praying on your behalf are a weapon that is to carry you through that which God wants to establish in your life. Amen. God is faithful. The world might be in turmoil, but the truth is, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, even in this situation. And not until that day, we would never know. So let's stand firm in our faith, because God will surely bring that which he has purposed and planned for us to pass. Amen. Shall we pray?